Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody, welcome to ClickFunnels Radio. I'm so excited. It's been a fun ride recently with a whole bunch of different things we're going through, and I have the opportunity now of introducing you guys to Brian Clayton. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
So Brian is the CEO and co-founder of GreenPal. It's an online marketplace that connects homeowners with local lawn care professionals. GreenPal has been called the Uber for lawn care by Entrepreneur Magazine. So again, one of the things I'm having a lot of fun doing is doing interviews with people I don't know, but are just crushing it in the marketplace. And I'm super excited, Brian, to kind of go through this with you. So thanks so much for taking the time today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, CEO, co-founder of GreenPal. It is the Uber for lawn mowing. So if you're a homeowner, you need to get your grass cut rather than calling around on Craigslist or on Facebook or Yelp, you can just download our app, pop your address in, and somebody comes up and mows your yard for you. I guess you could say we're like a 10-year overnight success. We've been at this for like a decade, have a few hundred thousand people using the app and doing multiple eight figures a year in revenue now.
I love that. I think that's the part most entrepreneurs really don't realize is all of a sudden they see someone and it's this massive success. And they think, oh man, it came so easy for them. I'm like, yeah, you don't understand what happened before it actually became popular. So I love the idea as far as 10 years. I get that for sure.
I have found that I don't think I've ever seen or heard of an overnight success. When you peel away the layers, there's always like they crashed and burned on two or three things before that project, or they were like working under a different name and they changed the name to the thing that broke out, or you never heard of it for a decade and then it became a big thing. I'm pretty sure there are no overnight successes, and usually something is 5, 10, or 20 years in the making.
I love it. I love the truth there, because most people think, oh yeah, no, it just happened. I'm like, no. And I think it's been the funnest thing for me as I take a look at ClickFunnels and our successes and everything else. And just the numbers of times that they went through, like, I did this and I did this and this didn't work. And I tried this and this didn't, but this did. And I think it's the part that the real truth to scaling and building a real business is it's not going to happen overnight. It just doesn't.
It just never does. And one of my favorite quotes is, I think it was Winston Churchill. He says, success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. So I guess you could say that's what entrepreneurship is, just going from one failure to the next without a loss of enthusiasm, figuring it out as you go. These things take time. And a lot of times, the last decade of building this company, I've looked at those folks that are just crushing it seemingly and thought, man, why couldn't we do what they did in 4 or 5 years? And it never is that little bit of time. There's two or three things that they tried and failed on, and they baked all of those learnings into this thing that worked. And that's how it's been for us. We spent 4 years just kind of chasing our tail until we figured out how to build this marketplace where you push a button and somebody comes and mows your yard for you.
So tell people a little bit about exactly how things work.
Yeah. So if you're a homeowner, you just come on and you put your address in, email address and physical address, and you'll quickly get 4 or 5 free quotes from lawn mowing services nearby you. You can then read reviews, read statistics about them, how often they show up on time, check out their pricing, see what other customers are saying about them, and then hire them right through the app. They come out, mow the yard for you. You get a picture of it when it's done. If everything goes well, you push and pay. And if you liked how well they did on the yard mowing, you just book them for the lawn mowing season. And then if you're a lawn mowing service, it's the easiest way to run your business on top of our app. So everything from scheduling to getting new customers to route optimization to marketing automation, it's all handled for you. And so it's kind of like a business in a box. So we have two customers and we really focus on materially improving the livelihood of suppliers while offering a nice convenience for homeowners.
I love it. So how did you get involved in the business?
Well, so before I started this company, I actually had a landscaping company. I was mowing grass as a way to make extra cash in high school, and kept cutting grass through college. And when I graduated college, made a little business plan and built it into one of the largest landscaping companies in the state of Tennessee where I live. I got that business over 150 people over a 15-year period of time, eventually getting it to 8 figures in revenue. And in 2013, that business was acquired by one of the largest landscaping companies in the country. And so 15 years just building that business from me and a push mower to me and 150 people, I kind of cut my teeth on entrepreneurship, learned how to build and scale a business. And then when I sold it, I retired. I didn't have to work anymore, which was nice, but I got really bored really quickly. And I thought, okay, I want to get back in the game. I want to start another company. What should I do? I want to start something simple. I should start a software company because that'll be easier.
It's so much easier.
Yeah. And boy, it's like naivete is an asset. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so luckily I didn't know how hard it is to build and scale a software company because I never would have done it. But I got in the game and recruited two co-founders and we just started working on the idea and never looked back. You know, it took us a few years to get something going. And then we got some little bit of momentum going, celebrated the small wins along the way. And now we have a company doing over $20 million a year in revenue, self-funded, debt-free, and growing fast. And it's actually a lot of fun running this business now.
I love it. You know, it's so funny. People talk so much about, I just got to get to that first million. And, you know, that seven figures at first. And then all of a sudden, person hits it and they're like, you know, it's really not that much money. I really want to get eight figures. And it's been so much fun as I take a look. You know, we have over, 1,500 people, I think, now that have done over our 2CCX, basically getting to our True Comma Club. And then to get to our 2CCX, we've got, you know, dozens who have actually made it over that eight-figure mark. And I know that as we were talking earlier about this whole idea as far as eight figures with no outside capital, scaling and growing and building your business. I'm fascinated to see what are you finding that actually works to really scale and grow and really build a business that it's going to last?
Yeah, you know, I'm not anti-VC. I don't want to say that, you know, I'm not like some indie guy said like anti-venture capital. I think for some businesses, it is better to build the business off of its own revenues. And ours was one of those, you know, in 2012 and 13.
Well, Brian, I can tell you real quick here, because I feel very similar the same way you do on that kind of stuff. I think, especially to get to that, I find so many people these days are, oh, if I could just get some capital, I'm like, it doesn't work that way. No. Not that you really have to get success first. And the greater you get success, the money starts just flooding you. And people That's always right. want to invest. But I think the part for those guys who are listening, you realize don't try to go out and raise money and you haven't even launched a single thing yet. So I push more on that. That's why I love seeing our two Comma Club award winners, our two CCX award winners. Because most of them have never raised any money. They've actually found things that actually work. So I'm kind of curious how you've done the same.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, like it's a bad bet for most entrepreneurs. I think venture capital has probably killed more businesses than it's minted.
Yeah.
When it works out beautifully, it's a beautiful thing. But the reality is it's a bad bet most of the time because the saying like necessity is the mother of invention is very real when it comes to starting a product from scratch. And so when you're funding a business off of its own revenues, you have to do a few things very well. You have to listen to your customers, like insanely listen to everything they're saying. You have to make it really easy for them to tell you where you suck. You have to take that feedback and you have to put it back into what you're working on. And like that simple thing, as simple as it sounds, is easy to sidestep if you have $1 million in the bank to go spend on things. And so for us, like that crystal clear thinking of what are we triaging the two or three things that we're working on to make the product better for our customers is, and just doing that over and over again for a long period of time is a byproduct of self-funding the business. And so just that like simple fundamental difference between funding the business off of its own revenues versus going out and being really good at fundraising is what's made the difference for us. And a lot of times, if you go the fundraising route, you build a product that investors love and not necessarily one that customers love. And you get really good at fundraising and not really good at listening to customer feedback. And so that was one that, you know, we wanted to avoid that mistake. And for me, you know, I'm always going to be working on my best idea, but I'm also not very creative. Like I had one good idea. This was it. Like I needed to make this work. And so I didn't like the whole like scaling too quickly and crash and burn thing. I didn't want to go down that route. And I kept seeing like in 12, 13, 14, and 15, like the Uber for X tidal wave of capital flowing into like the Uber for home cleaning, Uber for laundry service, Uber for locksmithing, Uber for car washing, a bunch of different Uber for lawn mowing ideas. And they all like kept raising $1 million, $5 million, $10 million. And then in 18 months, they were out of business. And I didn't want to go down that path. I knew that nobody was going to yank the rug out from under us for what we were doing. And I just wanted to go slow and low, grow 30, 40, 50, sometimes 100% per year and build a profitable business that we were kind of in control of was the route I wanted to take the company.
I love that. So for those who are listening, we've got a lot of entrepreneurs who are out there trying to find to scale and grow their own business, whether there's in the startup phase, whether they've already crossed through the million or 10 million. What are some of the things that you recommend as you're growing and scaling your own business and you want to get to that 7 or 8 figure mark? What are some of the things you found that actually work?
Yeah, you a lot of times as a founder, at pretty much every level of the game, the hat you wear as the founder, as a CEO, is that of a capital allocator. So like you got a little bit of money coming in, and then you got to make really good bets on where to put that money to work. And so in the early days, like you're doing three things at once. You're working like in the business, on the business, and on yourself. So you're trying to like run the business, keep the thing going, and working like, okay, how do I delegate and build systems and processes? And how do I even learn this stuff to like even play this game? And then you're making a little bit of money, and then you're trying to figure out where do I make these bets? And what's worked for me and my co-founders is we have done everything. We taught ourselves how to code. We taught ourselves, you know, stuff like SEO, how to build product, how to design. And we just like went to YouTube University to learn all of these skills for over a long period of time. And then we would figure out, okay, we have a little bit of money. Now, where is like the highest leverage point we can put that money back to work? Is it more devs? Is it a better designer? Is it an SEO team lead? Is it better, a smarter Google marketer? Is it, where can we put that money to work and get the best ROI? And if you can think of it in terms of that, like do everything yourself, make a little bit of money, put that money to work through freelancers or maybe even contractors or employees. And just do that rinse and repeat over a long period of time, then you can get a little bit of flywheel going. For me, you know, a book that's instrumental in my journey as an entrepreneur is The E-Myth. And it's a very basic fundamental book on business. But one thing that business talks about is literally building out that org chart of, okay, what does the organization look like? You might say, well, it's just really me and one other person. I don't need an org chart. Well, yes, you do. You need a head of product. You need a head of marketing. You need a head of HR. You need a head of customer service. You need a head of R&D. It's going to be your name on all these roles. But if you go through that exercise of building out that org chart, and then as time goes on, you start making a little bit of money, you can then delegate and peel your name off some of these roles, the specialists. You do that for 5 and 10 years. You can wake up one day and look at a company that's got people in it that are smarter than you. That's where I'm at today. It's a lot of fun.
I love that. I think it's such a critical thing for people to understand is you're really going to scale and grow a business. You have to bring on people, and that's the only way you can really grow your business. And I think the key is to getting the right people in the right position. And we've been super grateful for those people who have been with us now for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7 years. And it's been fun just to see how everyone grows. And I think, as you made mention, you're growing into those positions. And I think, you know, as entrepreneurs who might be listening to this, or you're trying to figure out what your next step. I know for me, the very first thing was I had to find someone who could, you know, if nothing else, it was, you know, just take off my plate all the stuff I don't want to do. And whether that's, you know, it's hiring on executive assistant or something like that, or secretary or something, just take care of that part and then go. Then maybe it's you need to find someone you need to bring on who's actually going to do marketing for you or social marketing or whatever it might be. And I think the sooner you start having the success to put that money right back into your business to scale and grow. And I love the idea of, again, getting to that eight figure mark without bringing on any additional capital. Once you get, again, to the 8 figure mark, bringing on capital at that point is a totally different conversation. Yeah. You're at a point where it's you now can actually negotiate better. You can spend more time. And I think too often people are like, oh, I've got this idea, I just don't have the money. And like, it's not about not having the money. It's more about having the skill to grow and build the business.
That's right. Yeah, it's so true. And I see it a lot too. I do a little bit of coaching and mentoring for other entrepreneurs as a hobby. And I see this a lot where I want to, like, it's almost like the capital is an antecedent to starting, and it shouldn't be that way. Or another one I hear is like, I want to raise capital, but I don't have any connections. I don't know anybody. That's even worse. And yeah. it's not who you know, it's what you've built. And so like, is it who you know, or what you can do? Or no, it's what you've built. It's what you've done. And it's get something built, get something in the hands of customers, get some proof points, get some validation and get some traction. And then maybe go try to raise capital if that's what you want to do. I see that a lot. And, And I got to tell you, if you can stick it out, if you can go through the first 3, 4, 5 years and get your first million in ARR, then to your point, raising capital is a lot easier and it's a totally different ball game. I mean, I get inbound to me from VCs on a daily basis. And so if we ever want to do that, you know, it's a lot easier. We can take on a lot less dilution. So my advice is to stick it out and just go the hard road almost and de-risk it as much as you can. Now, there's some ideas that you just have to have capital. Like if like 3, 4 years ago, you wanted to start a scooter company, you had to go raise a bunch of money for that. There's no two ways about it. But the other thing I see is like, maybe if you had an idea to build the next scooter business, and you needed to raise $100 million of capital, maybe get a couple singles under your belt first. Like maybe go start a traditional online business, get it to 500K in revenue, learn a little bit, maybe flip it or sell it, then go do the big idea. Like a lot of times you see these founders that are navigating their way through these huge, big companies. A lot of times they've already like had a couple singles, or they crashed and burned, or they worked somewhere where they were like the right hand man on something very big. So a lot of times, if you can just kind of get on first or second base, then go for the big idea is my advice, because it's really hard to do the big thing right out the gate. You rarely see that happen.
No, I agree with you on that. I think that's the fun part as you're scaling and growing your business. I've had a lot of different businesses over the years. Some were great, some weren't. And you learn so much as you kind of go up and down through that. And I think the best part is you continue to stay and focus on how do I get to the next level? How do I do the next things? What are the things? How do I scale and grow and build a business? And I think that's the thing I'm always fascinated by, is how important the right people are. And you also have to make sure you have the right product, the right service, and that you're able to really take care of answering the question for whoever your client might be. As you're mentioning, someone wants their lawn taken care of. There's a whole bunch of different ways people can try to figure it out. I love your idea as far as, you know, with the green pile. It's like, no, let me show you how you can actually bring people in. And go ahead.
Hey, you just said a couple of things that just really line up with what my experience has been. You said levels. And for me, like, business is almost like a video game. And I see this a lot where, you know, founders are on metaphorically level 1 or 2, and they're worried about Bowser. And it's like, you can't worry about Bowser. There's a final boss at the end of level 1 that you need to beat first. And don't worry about Bowser. Like, just get through level 1, throw up the flag, and then get to level 2, and then throw everything you got into getting to level 2. Like if your life depended on it, get through level 2, and then on 3 and 4 and 5 and so on. And like you said, a lot of times, like in certain levels, it's about, you know, product, processes, people, and these things like get more important as the levels go on. But level 1 is all about product. Are you solving a problem that people want to pay for? And that could only be 10 or 20 or 50 people, but that probably is what level 1 looks like for you. And it, like, culture doesn't matter at level 1. Brand almost doesn't matter at level 1. What your logo looks like and mascot looks like doesn't matter at level 1. Level 1 matters. Can you get 20 people to use your product and keep using it, then get to level 2, 3, 4, and 5. And like, level 5, 6, 7, and 8 looks like processes and people and stuff like that.
I love that.
That's how it's unfolded for me. So I'm glad you mentioned. I'm like, yes.
I totally understand. I think that too often people want to win at level 1. It's like, it doesn't work that way. You just learn so much. You grow so much experience. And those are things where you can have a completely different conversation when you get to the point where someone wants to buy your company or invest in your company. You're like, And it's been so fun for me, as I've had the opportunity of talking to investors for years now. I'm like, we're not going down that road.
Right.
So it's just you're in a different situation. So for those of you guys who are listening, I'd highly recommend that you do what it takes to get through level 1 and then level 2 and then level 3, whatever those might be. And again, Brian, as you're mentioning, you focus on the level that you're in. And that's the key there, is to get through it as fast as you can, scale, learn, grow, and then get to the next level. As you take a look at, you know, scaling and growing, a lot of the people who are working through you or working with you now, a lot of the people who are, again, offering the green services, what are some of the things you find as they're trying to scale and grow their business?
Yeah, that's really what we're built for. You know, that's why I get out of bed in the morning. We offer a nice convenience to homeowners to push a button and get this chore done. But small business owners that use our platform to grow their lawn mowing and landscaping company, That's what I get jazzed up about. It's like, how do we give them access to as many customers as they want, tools that they didn't even know existed to implement into their business, like marketing automation and route optimization and getting paid quickly for the work they do and bookkeeping. All these things are kind of end to end baked into what they get when they operate their business on GreenPal. And so what I've learned in the last 10 years, I mean, I've been in the landscaping business for 24 years in it and now running GreenPal. What I have learned is that nobody teaches us how to run a small business. You're not taught in school. You're not taught in business school. You're not taught in college. Yeah. And it's like, you're not taught things like customer service and just organization and basic bookkeeping and like just basic marketing and basic like upselling and basic follow-up. Like nobody teaches us these things and you're not born with these skills. And so that's one of the biggest disconnects I see with new folks that want to get into the landscaping business and they come on to use GreenPal and they don't know any of these skills. So it's almost like our mission is to kind of be their Sherpa to get them to understand that this is why it's important for you to follow up after the first service with a client. This is why it's important to offer the client these services, you know, at these times of the year. This is why it's important to show up on like the day you were supposed to show up, as crazy as that sounds. Like that's our app's job, is to be that accountability layer to kind of indoctrinate somebody who's never ran a business into what it actually means to run a small business. And, you know, it's not like, you know, like being an Uber driver or a Lyft driver is like you're kind of like a gigster. That's not the same thing as running your own landscaping company. And so we have to close that gap between like, I have never ran a business before. Now I'm running a six-figure or even like we have some folks running seven-figure lawn mowing businesses on top of our platform. Like that's the job of our platform, is to kind of guide you through that. That's one thing I've noticed over the last 10 years of running GreenPal, is that that's really what we're in the business of doing, is to build small business owners.
Oh, I love it. Well, Brian, as you take a look at, you know, getting to that next level for these, for your clients and everything else, what are some of the things, for those people who are going to be listening to this podcast, they're going to be going, well, I'm not a lawnmower. I'm not doing that, but I do want to scale my business. What were some of the things you'd recommend?
Yeah. One thing I've learned running this business is that it a lot of times comes down to unit economics and what are you in the business of selling. You know, if you're in the lawn mowing business, you're in the business of selling labor hours. That's basically it. Labor hours in the field, and what does it take for me to produce a labor hour? It may just be me. And then what are the costs, the variable costs that go into that, and what can I sell that for? And as simple a concept as that sounds, most people don't understand that that's what they're in the business of doing if they're selling like a home services based business. So getting like down to the brass tacks of what are the unit economics of my businesses? You know, what am I selling and what does it cost for me to produce that? And like getting that nailed, even before you hit six figures, is so critical, because if nothing kills a bad business quicker than good marketing. And so what I see a lot of times is folks, you know, no matter what business they're in, they want to step on the gas on marketing when like at a fundamental level, the business is broken and they're, you know, they're not cash flow positive. They don't have positive contribution margin on what they're doing. And so it's like, I see that whether it be in lawn mowing businesses or in other online businesses that I coach, is like, let's fix that. Let's get the unit economics figured out. And then also the retention. Well, I don't have that many customers. I only have 50. Well, let's figure out how we can keep like 80% of that 50. Then let's scale. Then let's pour on the marketing, like build from the bottom up. As simple as these concepts sound, a lot of entrepreneurs don't like obey them. And that's how they go out of business quickly.
Oh, I totally understand. Well, Brian, I love seeing the experience that you've had. I love seeing the success you guys have had. I love the idea as far as the success after 10 years. I totally understand. Again, we've gone through seven now, and I look forward to some of the other things we've got happening. And it's the funniest part for me is none of us, as I take a look at all the partners, we were all involved in other companies, multiple companies before we actually did ClickFunnels, because of all the things that you learn.
Right.
And it's just the journey that you go through. So again, thank you so much for your time. If people wanted to find out more about you or reach out to you, what's the best place to reach out to you or connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So life's too short to cut your own grass. If you're listening to this and you want to work on your business rather than mowing the yard, just download GreenPal in the App Store or Play Store. Get hooked up with a great lawn mowing service. Anybody who wants to get at me, I spend most of my time on Instagram as far as social is concerned. So hit me up at Brian M. Clayton. Drop me a DM there and I'll hit you back.
Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for your time. Again, it was great to meet with you and look forward to connecting more.
Sounds great, Dave. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved all the value of that podcast. Speaking of value right now, one of the things we're really trying to do is over-deliver. And the thing we've seen that has probably created the greatest opportunity for us to over-deliver to all of you, and that is our One Funnel Away Challenge. In fact, you can actually see it at clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. Again, clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. If you've gone through the One Funnel Away Challenge in the past, this is something totally new. We started the One Funnel Away Challenge back in 2018, and it is now 2.5 years later, we decided to completely redo it. Everything brand new. Simplifying the process, making it just as easy as possible for you to get results quick. Just spend 30 minutes every single day, and what you're going to get is Russell teaching you exactly what you need to do to get your funnel up and running in the next 30 days. So go to clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA and you can get all the details there. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.